Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Mary Griffith Show. This is the first Monday in December, and without fail, that means that members of Gretiff will be here. We've got the big dog himself, Kyle Moore, is joining us for Gretiff today. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was fantastic. You know, the food was great, family, a lot of great time with the family, so can't complain.
And are you a turkey family?
A turkey and ham.
Okay, we're turkey and ham too.
Yes.
Do you stuff in the bird or put dressing on the side?
No, dressing on the side. Okay. And then I'm in charge, because I know you're going to ask of what I'm in charge of. I'm in charge of the mashed potatoes.
Really?
From scratch.
That's not easy.
No, but I like it. There's something about peeling the potatoes and getting it done
and making it
the way that I like them.
Yeah, put the fork in. Okay, so what is the way you like them?
Well, I like to boil them in heavy whipping cream. And then I melt butter.
No, wait a minute. Yeah.
I fork them and I boil them in the whipping cream. Yeah. And then I butter, and I've got some rosemary and garlic, and I melt that. So then and then I rice the potato,
and then I
whip it when I put the liquid in. And here's something I learned. So if you ever are worried about, like, let's say you're at a party and, you know, a dinner, and you've made the mashed potatoes, you know, 2 hours ahead of time. You put that heavy whipping cream in the crock pot or in the pan, just a little bit of reserve. And so then that way, if it dries out, you could whip it again, and that keeps them moist. Yeah.
Because that's one of the hardest things when you're doing a Thanksgiving dinner is getting everything to come out of the oven, because the turkey's got to rest.
That's
and then
right.
The mashed potatoes, hopefully, are like point of presentation.
That's
then the
right.
Sweet potato casserole and the green bean casserole.
That's
it's
right.
got to come out. Then the cold dish is like the cranberry sauce. You've got to make sure they're all assembled.
So that's the timing on the mashed potatoes, is to have a little bit of reserve of that whipping cream that you use, and then just you can even just lay it in there. Then when you get ready to serve, you just whip it back up.
You know, I've heard of people putting heavy cream.
Mm-hmm.
That's nothing new to me, but my mouth is hanging open that you actually boil the potato in the whipping cream.
Yeah, I do that, yeah.
And then you obviously use that whipping cream.
But then I also don't eat all of it. No,
yeah.
You don't eat all of it.
That'd be too much.
But then the butter, and then I've got, like I said, I do the garlic. And this year I use some rosemary. I don't know if I'll do that again. But anyway, that's the basis of it.
Okay. Well, sounds darn good to me. Wow.
Next time you have a Thanksgiving meal, you need some mashed potatoes.
Catering by Kyle.
There we go.
I mean, I thought mine were pretty good, but now
Oh, no. Yours are fantastic.
I actually do the sweet potato casserole. But I do. My husband likes my mashed
potatoes. If I'm making it for myself, I'll put cheese in there. You know, but if I'm doing it for a Thanksgiving,
do you ever do cream cheese?
No, but I have a friend who does that.
Yeah. Scott does cream cheese.
Yeah, yeah.
I've done cream cheese before.
But it's for like a traditional Thanksgiving, I'm not going to do that. But if I'm making it for myself, then put some cheese in.
Okay. So now we know everything we need to know about Kyle Moore's Thanksgiving. But I'm impressed. He rices the potatoes. I mean, this is a labor of love.
Yeah.
I am very, very impressed. So impress me a little bit more. Let's talk about what's happening with Greta.
We have our annual meeting coming up.
I know
you're excited about it. It is on Wednesday, December the 11th at the Oakley-Lindsay Center.
I'm excited about the cocktail.
Well, that's it. We have a cocktail hour, even though it lasts 45 minutes. So it's December the 11th, 4:45.
Kind of like the Mary
Griffith
Show.
That's right.
It's not from 9 to 10.
No, but everybody thinks it does. Yeah, so we have a cocktail hour from 4:45 to 5:30, and then we have a presentation 5:30 to 6:30. It's always a great time for us to recap the wonderful economic development news that we've had throughout the year. And a lot of times I think people forget because we move on to the news of the day, really all that's happened. And we'll have presentations by Mayor Mike Trope. We'll have, I guess by that time, he'll be former County Board Chairman Kent Snyder.
He will be.
By like a day, or a couple days. But he'll be giving his last presentation, and then we'll also, do an overview of the impact economic development has had on our community this last year.
Well, we might as well start with the latest thing that was announced, and that was Amazon. And boy, they're moving ground.
You know, we knew when they were ready for the announcement that they were going to break ground.
Yeah,
and they weren't going to waste any time. And their time schedule was to try to get this thing operational by next year, this time next year.
Oh, this is their bread and butter. They're moving.
It's not their first rodeo, you know, so I think that's exciting for us, and I think it'll be exciting at this time next year to see that building. And, of course, we have some other buildings working their way through, like United Alloy working through, Knapheide Manufacturing's new expansion. Which is exciting. Every time I go out there,
which I live out there, I'm like, wait a minute, why is there a Knapheide banner on that building now?
They're doing a lot. They're doing a lot. So I think it's exciting for our community. And we're going to touch on the fact that we've had a net positive of businesses created this last year in Quincy and Adams County. So we'll have that number. But we'll really talk about, you know, oftentimes economic development is difficult to measure. It's difficult to measure what we do and the impact that our partners have had on the community. This year, after you attend the annual meeting on December the 11th, 5:30 p.m. Is the actual presentation, you'll be able to see what the economic impact has had and how it's impacted all of our lives here in Quincy and Adams County.
That's one of the frustrations. So much of the work you've done, and I won't say is in secret, but that is why GRETIF was created. You see, nosy news reporters like me, the mayor and others aren't supposed to have meetings with these people. If there's more than three elected officials present, it's got to be an open meeting.
That's
and guess
right.
what? Amazon doesn't want to come and have a meeting like that. So GRETIF was created, among other reasons, to be an arm of the city, but to buffer that so that just like, you know, I mean, I can call out there today and ask Bo Knapheide what his plans are for 2025. I doubt if he's going to tell me. Because, you know, it's none of my business right now, but he'll be happy to tell me as soon as he's ready to tell me.
Right.
But it's like Amazon. You know, I'm sure we were competing with other places, and the fact that, you know, we got it is a feather in our cap.
Oftentimes, you know, these projects will take multiple years.
Yes.
You know, that's what these things don't happen overnight, and there's multiple steps. And so what we work to do is to help companies navigate the different incentives if they're getting them from the city. We'll help connect them with landowners that have properties that are ready for development. We'll help with their workforce needs. So there's all these different things. And I think this year, one of the great stories that we have, in January of 2024, Matt Obert, the CEO of Chaddock, went to a baseball event in Springfield and ran into the owners of the Springfield Lucky Horseshoes and happened to mention to them that Quincy had lost our baseball franchise. And, you know, they said, yeah, we might take a look at it. We might have an interest, and, you know, not sure. And if you talk to the owners now, they really didn't really have an interest. But Matt had connected him to us. He's a member of our board. We worked with Mayor Trope to set up meetings with QU and John Wood and a couple other facilities. And lo and behold, here, you know, 10 months after our first meeting, we're going to have baseball back in the community next year. And so I think those are some of the different things that, you know, I always tell people we make a lot of connections. And sometimes those are hard to measure, but we're going to go over how we measure it at the annual meeting here on December the 11th.
You know, people always say it's not what you know, it's who you know. And sometimes that is said in a derogatory area. You know, here I have a master's degree and I can't get hired because, you know, the guy that got the job is best friends with the CEO. But there's perfect example of somebody, Matt Obert, who's very pro Quincy community, and he's out on his recreation time, but he's touting Quincy.
That's right.
And how many of us go somewhere on our own vacations and we could say to somebody, hey, this is a great restaurant. I really wish we had one in my hometown.
There you
go. Hey, this is a great amusement or entertainment venue. I wish we had something like this in our hometown.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you talk a little bit, because Quincy University owns QU Stadium, and that's where these games will be played.
Correct.
And I don't think it's the reason that the Gems left, but I don't have to go there. have you ever noticed how sometimes when people leave, well, anyway, not the Tilted Kilt, but what was that place down on the river? Oh, it used to be the Tilted Kilt.
Johnny Bang Bang?
No, some of that. They left and they're like, oh, it's just terrible in Quincy. We're moving to Hannibal. Well, first, they haven't moved to Hannibal.
Native Wing.
Yeah. First of all, they didn't move to Hannibal. And second, honey, you had your own problems. Don't blame them on me. I ate there several times. But I always love it when it's like, oh, there's something wrong, and then somebody else can come in and make it happen. So QU has got to step up a little bit and improve the bleacher seating.
The bleachers
situation,
in the
right?
dugout. So there were some concerns with the age of the stadium, which is
it was built during the Depression.
During
to
the
give
Depression,
people jobs.
Right? So there are some upgrades that need to be made, but nothing that was insurmountable. And there's conversations going on with the city right now on if there's going to be some city participation, and I think that's worthy of the city to explore. But also, from my understanding, they've signed their lease and they're ready to go. And I think, we saw when the gyms came back, what was it, 20 years ago? I mean, it was before I was really involved in a lot of things. But they did a great job of raising private dollars.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Getting,
they had little, you could have your box seats.
Right,
and you could,
right. So,
bathrooms at that time were horrific, and yet they still.
Right.
You know.
So I think there's going to be some rejuvenation of that. And I think that, QU perhaps got a bad rap, as you
I
said.
I agree.
And I think they were a little disappointed in that. And so some of what we had to do with this was mend some fences. And, of course, the ownership group, the Golden Rule Entertainment, didn't have anything to do with how the gyms left. But there was some fences that needed to be mended, and we were able to do that. And kudos to QU because they kept an open mind, even though maybe they didn't want to, but they did. And Brian McGee and Josh Raby did a great job. And as soon as we reached out to them, they said, "Listen, if Quincy wants baseball back, we want to be a part of the conversation. If we can make it work, we will." And they certainly did that. They're great community partners.
Well, the great news is QU needs that field to be better utilized because they need the revenues from it too. They're not going to make they're not going to keep that field up just on QU baseball.
Well, and I what I talk about is what Gems Baseball or whatever the baseball club is going to be called, it's a quality of life issue for our community. It gives people things to do during the week. It gives you family entertainment. And so, again, those things are hard to measure. I always tell people the trails that the park district have put in. What a great thing that are free. You can never measure the economic impact of that, but that's part of the community that people utilize and what makes Quincy a great place to live. And so, again, I think this is a great economic development story that, again, maybe hard to measure, but when you talk about quality of life and things to do, it's going to be a great readdition to our community.
Well, one of the best things about it is it's a private enterprise. Like you said, the city may be involved and subsidize something this year, but the bottom line is this is a private group, just as the last group was a private group,
right.
And they're break it on their own.
Well, and it's a great story. We have a former QU graduate that's part of the ownership group that is going to be, coming back and settling this. I don't think he's moving, but he's, had such a great experience in Quincy that he, said, yeah, Quincy's worthy of investing in, and I'll be the flag bearer of our ownership group to run the Quincy operations. So I think that's it speaks to what QU can do for our community, that they're a net importer of talent, but also that their graduates had such a great experience in our community, even when they move away, they still want to invest in us.
Okay, Amazon. We don't know what the name of the team is going to be.
You can submit.
I know. I kind of like the Gems, though.
Well,
I guess
submit
that could
it.
Be, I
yeah.
guess that could be
And
it.
I don't mind the Quincy Baseball Club, but, that's just me.
Well, that sounds like a soccer
team. I know, but that's, I'm a soccer fan, so.
I just not the Catfish, okay?
No.
Just please.
No.
Well, what would you say they should be named?
I'm for whatever the community decides,
oh,
Mary.
Oh, God, what a cop-out. I kind of like the Gems. Well, okay. They took the best name.
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Well, anyway, we'll see. You can submit. You can submit online at thequincybaseballclub.com, and also you can start buying tickets right now.
Well, they didn't pick my name for John Wood, the John Wood Chucks. So,
there you go. Submit that.
Being facetious. What else is happening new and exciting? Oh, Frosty Flicks.
Frosty Flicks
doesn't really have to do with Greta, but in a way it does, because this is a group of about 20 high schoolers from across Adams County, and they have to come up with a idea for a business.
Yes, well, we're
and
proud.
And who in the heck wants a drive-in theater when it's snowing outside? But apparently these kids think they're going
to
make it.
It's amazing. We're proud to be a sponsor of that. And this is, again, it's a great example of some of the ways we help. So their head CEO of the CEO program this year, the student that's leading the
Gabe Bull, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Reached out to us and had questions on some zoning, on sound things that you'd have to think about in a neighborhood. ran some ideas by on, you know, what to do about sponsorships. And so, you know, we were happy to help facilitate that. And that's a, you know,
that's
kind
the
of
whole
a
purpose
yeah,
of it,
that's
yeah.
a whole purpose. And so I think that's an exciting thing. And we've had many of the, you know, great success stories of the CEO program. You know, we have the individual that's selling shoes here mm-hmm. out of the Experience Quincy building. And so there's great examples of that. And we're happy. You know, we recently did a program with Quincy High School called Jobs in the Gym. And I don't know if you knew about this, Mary, but we had 28 local employers, and we had juniors and seniors from throughout the tri-state area who were looking for jobs come through and talk directly to 28 employers. And we had 900 students go through that just last week.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's an opportunity to, you know, the CEO program lets high schoolers know about the entrepreneurial system that we have here, and that it's not easy to start a business, but it's you're able to. And then last week we were able to introduce, you know, 900 students to job opportunities right here in the tri-states.
You never know what job you have could lead to greatness. And I won't say names, but there is a young man, particular favorite of my husband's, who works at a fast food restaurant. Now, he just started out like any other 15 or 16-year-old
right.
just working there. That young man is now I think he's the store manager. He's very young. He's probably too young, if you want to know the honest God truth, to do the job. But that's okay. He has been there the longest, and they've had a lot of turnover.
Right.
And somebody said, why not give him a chance? And every time I've been in there, everything's been running pretty smooth when he's there. So,
and there's good money in that. Yeah, so oftentimes when these franchises come, whether it be a Raising Cane's or a Jersey Mike's, or you know, they're looking for somebody with experience and who can be their local manager. And so I came up through fast food. It was great.
So did I. McDonald's.
Loved
every
minute of it.
I mean, actually, some days I look back and I say, you idiot. They wanted to send you to Hamburger U, and you didn't want to smell like an onion.
Right.
But
there's good opportunities here, and it's incumbent upon all of us to make sure we're connecting, our talented youth with the opportunities that are here, whether they be the entrepreneurial experiences, whether they be job shadowing, internship opportunities. And, I think kudos to the CEO program. And one of the things that we were able to help out with is the concept of having sponsors. You know, how do you take your costs? I think they have a certain cost that they have to pay for each movie.
Oh, yeah.
How do you navigate that? How do you navigate advertising? How do you navigate to make sure you're not breaking any city ordinances? And so that's, you know, again, we had a very small, a small way of helping that, but that's just an example of some of the things that we do.
Well, I tell you, I'm very impressed. I've known him since he was a little bitty one, but Gabe Bull contacted me to be on my show. And then I got another email from an adult that's involved and said, I really wish you'd reach out because I think these kids would be great on your show. And I wrote back and said, already taken care of, no adult supervision needed.
That's amazing.
Gabe Bull's on top of it,
right.
And is, but you know, because his dad works for the city of Quincy, you
yep.
may have
mm.
be familiar with him. I will tell one great story, and this is why, you know, sometimes the reason that people are successful is because they've had, it's not luck, it's that the opportunity's presented himself and they've been prepared. One day, I'm over in the parking lot in the middle of summer, and there's this, for years, there's been this dirt pile, and it gets bigger every year because that's the way the slope of the parking lot is. And you can't even park in that first space anymore because of this big dirt pile. And he was out doing something else, walking down the street. It's not his job to
right.
do this. And I said, hey, city worker, see this big problem over here? Take care of that, would you? And, you know, the next day it was gone. So I wrote Mayor Trope a nice note saying, I just want you to know that, you know, Mike Bull is on top of it. It wasn't his responsibility. It certainly wasn't something that he oversees.
Well,
but he passed it along.
Mary,
you know.
What you don't understand, I don't know. There's a list in the mayor's office of people you need to keep happy. Of people you need to keep happy in Quincy, Illinois. And I've seen it. I've been there. And Mary, your name is on there. So you've got a lot. You wield a lot of power there, Mary.
I tell you what, Mike Ryan must have that list because that day I complained about that dead skunk in the middle of the road. Mike Ryan came out with his own personal truck.
Sometimes, depending upon the mayor, they'll give an alderman a look at that if they're really nice to him and say, Here you go. This is who I recommend you keep happy. Again, I can't tell you where the list is, but it's somewhere in the mayor's office if you ever do a scavenger hunt. Yes.
There's a secret drawer.
That's a part of the manual. It's like, here, from me to you. And,
you
can see the handwriting of different mayors on there, and you're like, oh, that must be a story right there.
I love it. Well, the GRETF annual meeting is December 11th. That's a Wednesday night at the Civic Center. Everybody is welcome to attend. There'll be hors d'oeuvres and there will be a cash bar. So come and have a cocktail and do some networking there, because
yes,
there's an awful lot of people in our community that you probably do not know. And it would behoove you in your business to know who they are and then learn what has already happened and get a preview of some things that they might be working on. The problem with that, of course, is you can't really tell us
going
to come.
That's January.
I want to ask you one quick question before I let you go, because it has to do kind of with Amazon real quick. But the city council tonight is supposed to hear about Mill Creek Water District. They're trying to expand to a 250,000-gallon water tower.
Mm-hmm.
They're running into some opposition about where they'd like to place it, but no doubt they need it. Nobody denies that. Things like, you know, keeping our water supply and stuff like that up to snuff. One of the protests of where it's going to be built happened to be about, could the roads in that area sustain it? I've heard people say, oh, Amazon, that's great, but look where they're building it. Can the roads out there sustain that big truck traffic?
Yes, it can. And I know the county's going to be doing some work to prepare that as well. But, you know, there are traffic studies that are done ahead of time and making sure that the roads are built up to that standards that can handle it. So, and, I mean,
so what we see there now is not necessarily
exactly.
What's
and it's an industrial area anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's been heavy truck traffic there for decades. So I think that's a good question people ask, but they're prepared for it.
And is that going to be a lot of robotics in there?
I think there's going to be a lot of automation.
Yeah.
You know, but I think there's also going to be some good paying jobs.
You know?
So I think you'll see a mix. And I think for us, again, you know, when you talk about the future of your community, to have a global company like Amazon come in and invest, I think it's going to be a good thing for us when it's here.
And I bet you Gretiff and John Wood and everybody else will be working when they decide to get ready to hire a workforce and they say, this is what we need. There may be some special training available to people so that they can get
We'll try to align our curriculum to match some of their needs. And John Wood and QU and the QABTC already does that. A lot of people don't realize there are committees of local employers that help guide the curriculum that's taught here locally.
That's the way it should be.
That's right.
Why it's a community college.
Employer-led.
My taxpayer dollars paying for that. December 11th, the annual meeting of GRETF. They'll put an extra cherry in your cocktail if you mention my name. Be there at 4:45. The presentation is at 5:30 at the Oakley Lindsay Civic Center. And the mayor and the chairman of the Adams County Board, outgoing, will be there. And so will the president.
That's right. And you will be in and out in an hour. So we pride ourselves on being on time.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes.
I will hold you to your word.
There you go.
It is 20 minutes away from Fox News at the top of the hour. We'll pause and head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. Jane Paulette joins me with the Quincy Symphony Orchestra and Chorus, and the orchestra, the chorus, and the youth chorus. And some special guests are putting on their holiday spectacular concert, 7:30 Friday night, Morrison Theater in Quincy Junior High. There's lots of things going on Friday night, but this better be top on your list because it is wunderbar, as they would say. Everybody loves Mannheim Steamroller, and they have a special arrangement of many different songs. You guys are doing Deck the Halls and Silent Night.
I know.
That's a big undertaking.
And those two songs are so opposite in their feel. You know, the Silent Night is so beautiful, and it's really this beautiful violin over the men of the orchestra actually sing. You know, that's kind of unusual. And then there's this big wind noise at the end. So you have, like, the technology of the wind coming into Morrison Theater, and you can hear it just kind of over you. And then there's even toy piano. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but
you mean the little bitty dinkly one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. And then of course Deck the Halls will be bum 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 bum. It'll be big and bold.
You know, it's like really exciting and fun. with synthesizers and everything, you know, set drums, you know, so we have the whole gamut of music on this concert.
If you've got the instruments, why not use them?
I know.
They've collected them all over the years, so why not pull them out? The other thing that I personally think will be hysterical and is one of my favorites is it's called A Musicological Journey Through the 12 Days of Christmas. And explain how this works, because we think of the traditional 12 Days of Christmas, but this is not traditional at all.
Well, it's funny because the composer is Craig Courtney, who's written a lot of chorus music. But he started playing piano when he was 3 and was playing cello by the time he was 7. And so there's kind of this take on, you know, the 12 Days of Christmas can be kind of a boring carol. We all know it. We love it. But he was trying to make it more interesting. So he took each of the 12 days and wrote it in a different style. So you'll hear Mozart. You'll hear John Philip Sousa. You'll hear St. Saëns the Swan for Seven Swans of Swimming. you'll hear Vivaldi, Gloria. I mean, there's just like, I think it's the Gloria, but you'll hear all these different styles in there. And what I think is really fun is to try to don't look closely at the program notes, which list out all the 12 and what their style is.
See if you can figure
it out.
Put
your hand over that and then see if you can figure out when you're listening what the different styles are.
I love it. Dixieland jazz to, you know, Mozart. I mean, it's all in there. And that's just a wonderful way, again, when we go to an entertainment concert at Christmas, I want the favorites, but I want them with a twist, because that's what we're expecting. So it's not just going to be Silent Night. It's going to be a special version of Silent Night. It's not just Deck the Halls. It's Mannheim Steamrollers Deck the Halls. It's not just the 12 Days of Christmas, which is delightful, but it's this twist on it, which gives us all of that. The other thing that I'm really looking forward to is I saw Three Ships Come Fiddling In. Who are the River Strings?
So the Javeau Music School has a group of their most advanced violinists. In this case, there'll be 9. And this arrangement is written for the 9 fiddlers and will be up in front of the orchestra to have kind of the solo part. But it's basically, I saw Three Ships written as an Irish jig. Mm-hmm. So I saw Three Ships.
Which They're is how I like it anyway. And I play a version of that every Christmas. I always play my Irish Christmas tunes. And sometimes the melody's a little bit, it's more jiggish.
Yeah, I just love the way the violins sound up over the orchestra. But the whole orchestra's playing with the jigging violins up front, which is really cool.
To put children out in front like that, put students out in front like that, I think, and the youth chorus will also have a piece of this. This is the biggie. I mean, every year it's the Christmas show, whether it be the chorus taking the lead or the orchestra taking the lead. The Christmas show is the one that nobody wants to miss. There's also something very special. I've had the chance to share a stage with this lady. I've known her for a long time, Marcy Keller. Beautiful voice. And this is, it's not Santa Baby, it's Hot Santa.
Yes.
How did you come up with this, and how did you decide that Marcy should be your soloist?
Well, we have two works on the program that are by composers that we've worked with before. Todd Goodman and James Stevenson have actually written music for the Quincy Symphony. We've commissioned them to write for us. So then they keep in touch. And this piece, Hot Santa, I just really was intrigued by it because it's an original. So, you know, everything else on the program, you probably know the melody already. You could sing along practically for many of them. But then we have Hot Santa, which is new and is original work of James Stevenson. So it's basically a lament, but a very fast-paced, big band style swing lament by Mrs. Claus. She's upset that her husband always has to work on Christmas Eve. So it's very fast-paced. And we chose Marcy because she's just got the great style voice for this piece.
She can punch it out, and she's got theatrical
Well, she's had, eight or 9 leads at least in the community theater,
more. More. So she's fantastic. And again, you know, she's got – the thing I think about Marcy is she's got sex appeal. It's not just singing a song. It's selling a song. And I've never heard it. It's an original. I have no idea.
Oh.
But I'm reading your press release going, oh, yeah. Well, if this is supposed to have some kind of sexiness to it.
It does. Marcy Keller, it definitely does.
Marcy Keller is perfect for that. There's so many other things that are on the agenda. Must Be Santa for the children's choir.
Mm-hmm.
And the snow. What is the snow?
So that piece, I'm glad you brought that up. So the youth chorus is made up of two choirs, the kinder choir, which is 3rd through 6th grade, and the concert choir, which is 7th through 12th grade. And the snow is by Edward Elgar, so, you know, well-known romantic composer. And he wrote this piece... we are using our concert choir, which is the older group, to sing it, and it's just so gloriously beautiful. It's based on a poem, and the idea is that your heart should endure longer than the snow. So it's very romantic. We have a couple of these slow tunes, like we have Silent Night, we have The Snow, which is not a religious piece, it's more of a winter piece,
mm-hmm.
They sang it on their fall concert with two violins and piano, which was the original accompaniment written for it.
So imagine what it will sound like with the full.
Right. In the early 1900s, Elgar wrote a new accompaniment that includes strings, harp, timpani, and woodwinds. It's just really beautiful.
So some religious music, some non-religious music. Hot Santa, not.
Hot
a
Santa,
religion.
Not.
We're going to talk about the Battle for the Baton and how you can get tickets to the Friday night show. Now, it's very rare that the Morrison Theater would sell out, but get your tickets. You can buy them in advance, and seniors get a special discount. And, of course, anyone 18 and under is always free, and we'll be back to tell you more about that. Friday night, be at the Quincy Symphony and Chorus and the Children's Chorus presentation. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. My guest today is Jane Paulette, and she's the administrator, shall we say, of the symphony and chorus, but she's also a great musician in her own right, so she certainly understands. Their concert is Friday night, 7:30, Morrison Theater. Tickets are $18 for adults, $15 if you're a senior, 62 and older, and the best part of it all, free for all the kids 18 and younger. And the concert starts at 7:30, but the kids can burn off some energy starting at 6:30 when Mr. and Mrs. Claus will be in the lobby at the junior high.
That's right. We've invited him and, well, them, and we're looking forward to having them and hosting them. And so your child can have their picture with Santa and Mrs. Claus. They can, of course, talk to Santa. And we're hoping from 6:30 to 7:20 is about the proper time, and then to head into the concert from there.
And we always say, you know, Laura Sievert's on this show a lot with Arts Quincy, and she always says, you know, children are great. You need to expose them to art. And, you know, sit by an exit. If the kids get a little unruly, you can always just take them out in the hallway for a few minutes, let them run up and down quietly, and then bring them back in when it's time for... you know, Must Be Santa or something. You've got a program in hand there. So if they start to get restless during something, which I can't imagine, little kids actually, sometimes I say sit up close and you can get out those exits there at the bottom, you know, because the more they can see, the more they see the harp going, the more they see the fiddler going, the more they see the trombone going or whatever, you know. The big percussion instruments. It's kind of fascinating for them.
Well, and you can use some things like what I did. I have three kids. I used Tootsie Pops.
Yeah, Laura says. Bring a sucker and you won't have any problems.
I had six in my purse, three for the first half. And then if they made it quietly, they would get the one on the second half. And then also we do have for donation, we'll have a cookie fundraiser at intermission. So that could be used as incentive.
If you're good. You get a cookie. Okay,
right.
I love it. I love it. This, of course, one of the big things, and we don't know who won yet, but the Battle for the Baton, they'll be able to direct Sleigh Ride. There are four people are competing. Megan Peters, Todd Pettit, Bill Stalder, and Tina Moyer. And you don't even know who's won yet.
No, I don't.
But the person that raises the most money for the symphony, and this is a genius idea because everybody loves Sleigh Ride, and... you can't really screw it up. Although I said to Todd Pettit, is it fair? He's a professional orchestra guy. Is that fair for him to be part of the competition? He'll certainly, if he wins, he'll have a he won't have to practice as much as someone like Stalder or something who can sing very well.
I know, you know, Bruce Briney gives a lesson to whoever wins, and I thought, well, he's not going to have to give a lesson to Todd if Todd wins.
That's very interesting. So we'll see that night who the winner is, or maybe you'll tell us in advance.
You know, I feel like the candidates have so much courage to, you know, first of all, agree to try to raise this money, but then also to be willing to stand up there on the podium and conduct the orchestra. It's a thrill, but also, my gosh, it's a would be scary. I'd be afraid to do it.
It could be an interesting way to go. Well, Jane Paulette, thank you so very much. Folks, get your tickets now. They're available at Hy-Vee and Sterhan Jewelers or at QSOA.org. It is the concert of the year. You will not want to miss it. Thank you.